This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Dr. John Fleming, the state treasurer for the state of Louisiana. Doc, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Great to be on once again. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. You are able to enjoy the activity coming up that you're going to be sending out checks. And so folks need to be looking in their mailbox. Tell us about it.
Well, Newell, of course, the unclaimed property is an agency within the Treasury of Louisiana, and we have a very important role, and that is instead of taking the taxpayers' money, we actually give their money back to them. And annually, we do a data match with the Department of Revenue for money that is owed to the citizens of Louisiana. We calculate that one in six Louisianans are owed money. It could be a utility deposit. It could be an apartment deposit. It could be a deposit in a bank account. It could be an inheritance. It could be anything. And a lot of times people don't know they're owed money. And so we will be sending out at the end of this month 143,000 checks to Louisianans, totaling over $34 million. And it's, again, it's your money. It's the Louisianans' money. And it's a delight to be able to do that. In fact, it's the largest deployment of cash being sent out to citizens that this department has ever done. And we urge citizens to be aware, because many times people think that it's some sort of promotion and they'll actually throw the check away. And we caution people, it's your money. The check is good. There's no obligation on your part except to deposit it to your personal account.
And what a lot of people don't realize is that folks, including government, if there's uncashed checks, for example, if and this used to happen with my agency, the sheriff's office, and tax payments, like they overpaid or they paid the wrong amount, and you know, we would send them a check and it would go uncashed, and sometimes for years, and the auditor would come in and they'd say, look, you got to abandon this to unclaimed property and let them deal with it and get it off your books. Well, it's the same for even private companies as well. So a lot of times that's how you guys end up with all this money, right?
Yeah, absolutely. At any one time, we have about $300, $400 million of money that belongs to companies and to people. And it's not the same amount. It's not a static amount. We're sending checks out constantly and reimbursing people, and we're getting more in every day. So it's a very dynamic amount. And obviously we're trying to push as much out as we can, as fast as we can. And if you don't get it in the mail, there could be a couple of reasons. Number one, maybe we weren't able to match your data. So we encourage folks to come to lacashclaim.org. That's the website, lacashclaim.org, or just simply Google us, and you will Google unclaimed property in Louisiana, and you'll come to us. And it's a searchable website that's very user-friendly. And once you claim it, usually get it within 3 days. If it's a higher amount, if it's significant dollars, sometimes we have you complete a form that we have to verify ownership. But generally, in most cases, it's a smaller dollar amount, and that's unnecessary. So if you're not one of the recipients of $143,000 checks amounting to $34 million, that doesn't mean there isn't money there waiting for you. And if you don't claim it, it does not go to government. It goes to your heirs. Somebody in your family one day will think about it and will put a claim in and will get that money.
It's amazing. I think you may have said this earlier, but I know it was in the release from your office. $1.2 billion in unclaimed property. What is the highest that account has ever had in there? Is that one of the highest numbers? Or
well, $1.2 billion is the liability. At any one time, we only have about $300-400 million in the account. But a potential liability. In other words, if everybody claimed all their money at one time and knew about it, it could be as much as $1.2 billion, at least by our calculation. But at any one time, we only have like $300-400 million sitting there unclaimed.
You see, folks, when you have a guy that is in a position of handling a lot of money, it's only $300-400 million.
Well, Newell, as you know, I was in the U.S. House of Representatives for 8 years, and we hardly ever used the M word. It was always the B word and the T word. Right. So you get used to talking in those denominations.
No, I get it. I mean, you know, but it really highlights. When my dad passed, I got a note from the treasurer's office, and I went and checked, and they had all this money there. I mean, it was like deposits on this and that, and I don't know why, because they didn't move that often, but it never caught up to them, or they got it. And the same thing, they probably threw the check away, and then it ended up in the treasurer's office, and it was several hundreds of dollars in their name.
Yes.
that they were entitled to.
Well, just to tell you some of our challenges, we had one gentleman that we owed $20,000, and we knew who he was, and we made calls to him, but we could never get him on the phone. We left him messages, and he still wouldn't call us back. And it wasn't until I actually talked him in to coming to a meeting where I gave a speech, where I showed him my treasurer's ID as well as the actual check. And only then could we get him to accept it. Up until then, he was convinced that it was a scam. So we really have a lot of those challenges.
Well, you know, it's just a sign of the times, right? I mean, people,
yes.
We've grown very skeptical, which we're actually asking people to be, and cynical, you know, of these offerings.
Yes.
Because for far too long, people would just sign up for something and realize they're being defrauded, and usually it's
yes.
too late, right?
Well, yeah. In fact, I'll get something that looks like a check. Maybe it's a windowed envelope, and it kind of looks like a check, only to find out that it's just a promotion for something else. Maybe they want me to take out a finance loan or something. And so particularly the elderly, who's been taken so much advantage of, everybody is very reluctant. So we understand that at the Treasury's Department, and that's why we try to do the best we can. That's why we're talking to the public today, is we're trying to get that word out that, look for a Treasury's check, because it's a good likelihood you'll get it. But if you have any question, don't hesitate to call us, and we'll be happy to verify that for you. But it's no harm in depositing it into your checking account or your savings.
And the number at the Unclaimed Property Division is 1-888-925-4127. That's a toll-free number for the Unclaimed Treasurer's Unclaimed Property Division. Now, my understanding is, Doc, is that these checks are going to be put in the mail, placed in the mail on Friday, May 30th. So not tomorrow, but next Friday. So you can anticipate if you get something in the first, that they'll start arriving in the first week of June.
That is correct. They should be hitting mailboxes the first week, maybe the latest second week of June. So that's why it's important to let people know the timing of this. Because, you know, again, chances are if you get a check that says Treasury Department on it in that window of time that, you know, it's coming from us and it's good. We're going to be good for it.
Doc, so you handle a lot of the, you know, the state's money. We're in the midst of a legislative session right now. Anything happening there that's causing any concern or anything happening there that you're supporting and want to see pass?
Well, as you know, the biggest kitchen table issue in many years in Louisiana is liability insurance cost. Insurance has gone just bonkers. We have among the highest rates in the country, and we find out that the claim rates for particularly for frivolous lawsuits are just, you know, over the top, double the rest of the country. And the right now the Senate is really going hard, passing a lot of good bills that reform our regulations for lawsuits. To hopefully improve that, to make it where people who have justified claims and losses should be repaid and get compensation for any sort of injuries they may have from an accident. But on the other hand, it doesn't become a lottery system where we make a small group of lawyers very wealthy. I really think that the Senate is doing an excellent job. Just last night, they passed a number of good bills. There's still an open question as to whether the governor is going to sign them. But our legislature is really, I think, beginning to finally stand up and be counted and respond to the people across Louisiana who've been demanding these kind of reforms that bring us in line with other states when it comes to the cost of insurance.
Yeah, no doubt that it is a top of mind issue for everyone in Louisiana. On the text line, Doc, the text says, okay, I checked the list. I don't see our names, but I see my nephew and niece that now live in Florida. You have the wrong address for them. What should they do? So they should call that number, right?
Well, they can either call the number or they can go from any state. They can go to lacashclaim.org. And depending on the amount, the scale, you know, if it's a small amount, and I can't give you that threshold because we don't want to, to bring in people who may want to defraud. So just to say that if it's a reasonable amount, you know, maybe a few thousand, that somebody wherever they are in the world, they can go to that website, put in a claim, a little bit of verification requirement, and that check will be put in the mail within a couple of days. On the other hand, if it's a significant amount, then they'll be sent a form which they'll complete, and then we'll go from there. So it doesn't matter where they live now. If it's their money, we'll get it to them.
Absolutely. Another text comes in, says, what happens to the money that is unclaimed for a deceased relative? You can still make the claim as a descendant,
right? Oh, absolutely.
Right?
You can. Unfortunately, sometimes you get into the age-old problem that, you know, how many heirs are there, and there may have to be a little more work done to make sure that the money doesn't go to just one heir instead of others, and that has to be worked out. And that's why I say that, particularly in significant amounts where it may be an estate, – There may have to be more background work, but yes, it goes to us. If it's if someone passes away, and it's cash, not, I know it says property, unclaimed property, but the truth is it's unclaimed cash. If it's cash, then we're holding it, and they are entitled to it. But sometimes we do have to work with them when it comes to successions and probates and those kind of things to resolve those issues, to be sure that money is not given only to one or two heirs when it may be owed to sometimes a number of heirs. And it does get a little sticky sometimes. But we really encourage people to reach out to us so we can resolve that.
So it wouldn't be a bad practice then that if you're opening a succession for a family member to check the website, call the number, see whether or not there's any money due early onset, right?
100%, Newell. That's just, I think that's part of the process. Anybody who overlooks that obviously could miss including that in the estate as it's divided among the heirs.
Go ahead, Doc.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not hear me? What I said was that, yes, you absolutely should check the website, or if you have a lawyer doing the succession, they definitely should check our website, make sure there isn't money owed through that, because that needs to be included in the estate.
Doc, we have a caller, a lady that called in and said that she had put in a claim about 2 years ago and hadn't heard anything back. That's unusual. I know that y'all have been really good on the follow-up. I guess she should probably call that number 1-888-925-4127 to check on the status of her claim.
Yes. No doubt there's probably something that's holding it up. It may be that there's more documentation necessary that she may or may not know about.
Right.
But we have people standing ready to resolve those issues. So that would be the first step, as you say, to call that toll-free number. And we'll be happy to work with her on resolving anything outstanding, asking for more documentation, whatever's necessary. We're anxious to get that money in her hands.
And the unclaimed property can include old payroll checks, bank accounts, royalties that are due, utility deposits,
yes,
interest payments, stock certificates, life insurance proceeds. Actually, two or three of those came up in the situation with my parents, and
right,
it was a huge help. You know, they had no idea. They hadn't really never communicated with me much. I'm the oldest. I'm the only one still here.
Yeah,
brothers and sisters in other areas of the country. So. But then, you know, they were always very private about their finances, so I didn't know what they had or didn't have.
Right. Common theme. In fact, in some cases we've seen where people forgot about their own account. They had maybe a bond or a stock or something, and they forgot about it, and it ends up in our hands, and sometimes it can be a significant amount of money.
Yeah, yeah. You see, I usually forget about a bill.
Yeah, me too.
Not money that I have.
It's not often that I forget the cash someplace. Same here.
And I know you're not tracking that for me because I hadn't gotten any notices.
Right.
Final thoughts, Doc?
I tell, look, practice good fiscal hygiene, and that is check out unclaimed property at least once a year, maybe twice a year, because you're going to be surprised. There's money popping in there all the time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, I've heard stories, just, you know, coffee group conversation, you know, about people coming across money they had no idea that they actually had. Dr. John Fleming, the state treasurer for the state of Louisiana, thank you so much for joining us, folks. Look for these checks in the first week of June. They are going out on Friday, May 30th. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Awesome. Thank you, Newell. Have a great day.
All righty. That's Dr. John Fleming, state treasurer for the state of Louisiana. We will be right back. When we return, we'll talk to Irina Zuckerman, president of Scarab Rising, Inc., and we'll get the latest on Israel and Gaza. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Welcome back, folks. We've talked a lot about what's going on in Israel relative to Gaza and how fluid this situation has been. And in the last week, there's been a number of revelations of really the scope and the outcome that one is hopefully trying to achieve has changed too. And it just highlights the fluidity of this situation. And joining us to talk about it is Irina Tuckerman, president of Scarab Rising, Inc. Irina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
So, Irina, the Benjamin Netanyahu the other day said that Israel's prepared for an opportunity for a temporary ceasefire, and obviously they're still trying to achieve a hostage release deal. But he also talked about the implementation of Operation Gideon's Chariots, which kind of seems to have changed with some of the outcomes that they desire. So talk to us about that, if you would.
Well, from the very beginning, this war against Hamas had dual purposes, was to release the and rescue as many hostages as possible, but also to clear Hamas and to disable it from being able to attack Israel again in the manner it did on October 7th. Some argued that these goals were always in a bit of a conflict, which to prioritize first, the rescue of the hostages that were being used as leverage by Hamas, or the security agenda to ensure that Hamas is under such pressure that they cannot present a broader harm to the rest of society. And this conflict inherent to this war has driven many of the contradictions, pauses, and controversies surrounding it. And at this time, Israel seems once again using this wider operation as a way to put pressure on Hamas to release the remaining hostages. But also it is becoming fairly serious about disabling Hamas as a military organization and ending its military capabilities. We have seen that in the deadly strikes that took the lives of some of the remaining Hamas operational leadership. Not that they can't be easily replaced, but those are pretty big leadership names like Mohammed Sinwar recently. In fact, just last week, Israel paused in a Israel responded to Hamas outreach when the operation just started in attempt to come to another negotiated agreement to secure the release of the hostages, but that too failed. Hamas has no reason to release the hostages because they are the only remaining leverage that they have. And there's a growing protest against Hamas in Gaza because the people are starting to blame Hamas for the devastation of the war. Hamas has also been making it nearly impossible to distribute the flow of humanitarian aid among civilians, leading to significant humanitarian impact as well. Israel, too, is under pressure because the war has been dragging on for well over a year and a half at this point. The U.S. administration has been pressuring Israel to provide more greater access to humanitarian aid and to wrap up operations. And several European countries have been unilaterally recognizing the state of Palestine, apparently as a protest against the length of this operation and the humanitarian reports coming out of Gaza. So there's been more recently, UK also suspended the UK-Israel free trade treaty in response to this new operation. The question that is on the minds of many analysts, both those who support the goals of this particular operation and those who are more skeptical, is whether there's a strategy to ensure that Hamas does not come back, even if the operational goals are met the way it has returned to various areas freed by Israel previously. Is there a long-term plan, finally, to ensure stability in Gaza and to ensure that a terrorist organization will not be politically in charge and that there is a way to move Gaza back to out of a humanitarian disaster situation? Those are the questions on many people's minds.
Arena, what's amazing to me is how Hamas is still able to manipulate and leverage the UN. And the UN continues to put false information out there, misinformation based on stuff that's being provided by Hamas. And most recently, they talked about 14,100 kids were going to die in the next 48 hours if they didn't get aid into Gaza. And it turns out to be not true. It turns out that that's not what was initially said by the IPC, which the organization issued a report talking about malnutrition, that children's age 6 to 59 months would suffer acute malnutrition between April 2025 and March of 2026. So not 48 hours, but in a year. But all the while, what they're finding out is that a lot of the aid's there, and as you pointed out, Hamas is taking it. You got this war going on in the media right now, and the UN seems to be right in the middle of it, and they seem to be very unilateral on it, that they're only telling a side of a story to benefit Hamas. But a lot of what they're saying is not true. Your thoughts?
Well, I wish I could say I'm surprised that any of it is true, but it has not been. Hamas has been behaving that way from the very beginning of the war. And quite frankly, this is exactly what Hamas playbook has been in the past. Similarly, the United Nations, which has condemned Israel multiple times, not just during the course of this particular war, but throughout its history, has had zero declarations about many other bad actors in the region, and certainly has not put anything close to equivalent pressure to Hamas. Now, there's a reason for a lot of this. First, any international organization is only as good as its membership, and UN has been failing on many fronts. There's a lot of corruption, a lot of lobbying by wealthy actors and powerful actors, and they're not just talking about, the Palestinian entities as an observer status there. They're also talking about their state allies like Qatar, like Turkey, like Iran, like Russia and China, all of these actors have been amplifying disinformation and pushing these reports in behind-the-scenes deals. So none of that is coincidental. But what hasn't helped at all with clarifying the multiple reports that have been found exaggerated by Hamas themselves or completely fabricated from scratch is that international leadership in Europe and responsible actors and the media have been amplifying this data and taking data from the so-called Gaza Health Ministry controlled by Hamas without any alternatives, without an iota of skepticism. And even once the information has been debunked, there has never been a clear clarification from a single world leader, from a single major publication apologizing for misuse of misleading statistics. And multiple international media has relied on Hamas-affiliated stringers, the only people allowed to report directly from Gaza, which naturally colored the understanding of the situation by the public and policymakers alike. So a lot of it has not been very honest, even on the part of countries and players who really should know better, say nothing of international organizations that seem to be have become more a playing field for lobbying agendas than about achieving just results for civilians.
So where do you think we stand? I mean, obviously, this is a change when we look at what the outcome Netanyahu hopes to achieve as a result of Operation Gideon's Chariots, because he's saying now that at the end of this campaign, all of the territories of the Gaza Strip will be under Israel's security control. I thought for the very beginning that was the only outcome that could possibly be had, because it doesn't seem that Hamas and a significant portion of the Palestinians in Gaza ever want to peacefully coexist with the Israelis.
Look, on the one hand, the Israeli leadership has been far from perfect from the very start. Let's recall that it was Netanyahu who has allowed deals between Qatar and Hamas to begin with, which has arguably allowed a flow of money and enhanced Hamas's intelligence and other capabilities. And he's also been extremely indecisive from the very start of the war, vacillating between different outcomes. Many question his decision to go to Rafah only after months of deliberation, when it appeared to be the center of terrorist activity and a central holdout for their senior leadership. There's been a lot of back and forth, and it seems to me that Trump does not necessarily want to, I mean, Netanyahu does not want necessarily the responsibility of having to make very tough decisions. And this is, without a question, a tough decision. In 2005, when Israel decided to withdraw, a lot of this was fueled by criticism of having to deal with an endless cycle of violence as a result of occupation in Gaza. It came at a cost to soldiers and to Israeli civilians who were living there at that time alike. And without a question, if Israel does occupy Gaza, not only is it facing a wave of international condemnations and pressure and possibly a broader international unilateral recognition of the state of Palestine that will enable bad actors among Palestinians, and including their failed and corrupt governments, but it's they may be facing more serious security issues as a result. So it can't just simply be occupation. Israel has to be wondering how to execute it in a way that does not repeat past failures and mistakes. And that would require a great deal of international cooperation. It would require a plan. It would require significant resources into disarming, de-radicalizing, and re-educating the entire population. And what to do about the thousands of recruits and ideological sympathizers who are already fully grown and who are going to be nearly impossible to deprogram. There's no clear answer to that. On the other hand, there is the mercurial position of the United States, which has vacillated ostensibly on a lot of this. There's the position of Donald Trump, who is increasingly refocusing his attention on the Gulf and extraditing himself from direct diplomatic involvement and support, and who is surrounded by isolationists who are some of whom are outright not necessarily antipathetic to Hamas or to the players behind it, and who is also engaged in negotiations with Iran, which has been the chief political and other and financial backer of Hamas for a very long time. So there's a lot of pressures, as well external as well as internal, on Netanyahu. There's a lot of a significant portion of the population, as well as families of the hostages, are looking to end the war in Gaza in order to secure the release of their loved ones at any cost, and their perspectives are understandable. But similar deals have resulted in releases of masses of terrorists in the past, and it's already happened this time around as well. So nobody wants a comeback, nobody wants a return, but does anyone have the political will to do what really needs to be done, to take the position of the United States in Germany and Japan and to see it through? That, I think, many people have doubts about.
No, no doubt. And, you know, it's I can only characterize all of this in one way. We are on an incredibly slippery slope right now. And it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen in the coming weeks and the coming months, because I think this situation as a whole, as you just described, is becoming so tenuous on so many different fronts with so many different friction points. I don't know. And then we've got, as you pointed out, the vacillation of this country as to where we're going to be in our commitment to a traditional ally for a long, long time. It's a little disheartening sometimes on some fronts and on some days, and it's mystifying, too. Irina Tuckerman, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Thank you. This was great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford store shares. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
So you've heard me say before, I'm not one that believes in coincidences, right? So yesterday we talked to Colonel Jeff McCausland. Today we talked to Irina Tuckerman about these conflicts, one in the Middle East and the conflict between Russians and Ukrainians, right? Well, there was a recent article posted by Mackenzie Eglin, and she's a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, and she works on defense strategy, defense budgets, and most importantly, military readiness. It was a very, very interesting article. A friend gave it to me this morning. I was reading through it earlier. It was posted on the 19th of May, just a couple of days ago. And she says in the article that the United States is not postured to fight and win a sustained high-intensity conflict with inadequate purchases for decades now, combined with the current state of our munitions industrial base. And she points to recent testimony that was given by the acting chief of naval operations, Admiral James Kilby. And he said that the operations against the Houthis, we have talked about that on this show as well, has strained the munitions industrial base. And according to the New York Times, she points out that 30 days of Operation Rough Rider, which were the American strikes over 1,000 targets in Yemen, cost over $1 billion. But even worse, the munitions that were actually expended during that period of time, so many precision munitions that were used, that the Pentagon contingency planners are growing increasingly concerned about their overall stock and the implications for any situation in which the U.S. might have to ward off an attempted invasion of Taiwan by China. In fact, a recent Army War College study examined preparation for a long war against the People's Liberation Army, and a key finding was that days 1 through 15 of the conflict, they would expend, U.S. would expend all of their munitions on hand inside the Indo-Pacific theater of operation. In days 15 through 30, it would wipe out the entire inventory of precision munitions. Think about that for a second. They go on to say that months 2 through 6 become scrambles in managing scarcity as logistics get better and faster and military production scales up back home. But preventing all of this and planning for it is what is absolutely required at the present time. So one has to wonder this slowdown maybe in providing arms, both the Middle East and in the other conflicts, is what's driving a lot of what's going on. That we are actually in a very, very difficult position. Don't know if it's true, but these are observations. Representative Tom Cole, Republican from Oklahoma, said, God forbid if we were in a short-term conflict, it would be short-term because we simply don't have enough munitions to sustain a long-term fight. We need to do what we can do to accelerate that process. We've talked about criminal justice and what deterrence means. Well, military readiness and your ability to sustain a war is what is deterrence in dealing with and thwarting the next conflict. Just food for thought. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll get some answers to a bunch of questions about the OPSO jailbreak and what's happening around that situation. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.